stations, and I began to hear Mobil Oil commercials and Chevron. And I thought, what is this? I've been supporting, I'm sending my money, but they're taking money from those corporations. And these stories have begun to become lighter and less impactful. Didn't work for me, so I began to send my money exclusively to my Pacifica station. And if you're one of those people who has come to that same realization that I've come to, remember that you must support this station. 516-620-3602. We're coming up on a quick station break here. We're going to take a break in a minute, but we've got to get these phone lines lit first. We need to hear from you folks. It's WBAI and it's New York. We do this together. It's community radio. It's you and us. You send your dollars of support in and we bring you programming like the Gary Null Show Monday through Friday from noon to 1 p.m. on WBAI 99.5 FM. It's because of your dollars, because you've pledged your support that Gary Null has been able to get impactful information, impactful messaging out to the entire country in many cases. And remember this, folks, Gary has been challenged over and over and over. And I think specifically of the Dr. Wakefield case, or the most recent and intense one that I can think of, Gary, where you actually went to bat for someone else and were able to prove that the people challenging Dr. Wakefield were wrong. And you were saying it here. The entire media was saying the opposite. You challenged them, and you were right all along. That's the gift, folks, of not having commercials, but relying upon you. 516-620-3602. We're going to take a quick station break. We'll come right back on the other side of this. But before that, I want to hear from you. Let's make these phone calls ring. And don't forget, you can visit give to WBAI.org.
Hi, this is Donovan, and you're tuned to WBAI, listener-supported, non-commercial radio in New York.
And welcome back. You're listening to WBAI New York, 99.5 FM. My name is Tony Bates, and you're listening to an extended version of the Gary Null Show. Now, Gary, on the other side of the hour, I interrupted you. You were in the middle of telling us some success stories, and you were telling us the story about a boy who had autism and suddenly spoke to his mother. Let me get you back on track there. What else did you have to offer?
Well, what happened was, he was very tall, and he was now around 13 years old. And when you have someone with full-spectrum autism, remember, autism is not a single condition. It's a spectrum. And he was right over there near Asperger's. I mean, when they get big and they can get violent, they can hurt themselves or someone else. And, of course, they're not responsible because their brain doesn't function as it normally should. And the mother was so frustrated because she had just come back from seeing the psychiatrist, and he was already on 4 antipsychotic medications, and the psychiatrist says, there's nothing more I can do except raise the potency and put him on a 5th. And she said, if you put him on a 5th, he could die. And then the psychiatrist is suggesting that they put him in a home. Now, do you remember that movie Coma about 20, 30 years ago? Well,
we forget
what happens when people with Alzheimer's or a condition that society cannot cope with, when these people are taken out of the home and put into an institution, they're put on tranquilizers. They're kept medicated, sedated all day long, all night until they pass, which no one knows how long a person, depending upon how young they are and healthy, how long it takes them to finally die, but they can live years, and especially if they're no longer able to communicate.
And it ain't free.
Yes, and so she was at home, and she said she was sitting in her kitchen, and I was on WBAI in the background, and I, in my report, I talked about the power of a nutrient in helping with seizures. Well, he had seizures, so she immediately wrote it down. And she went out, she got it, she tried it, and lo and behold, within a week, he no longer had seizures, and he was having seizures every day. And so then she started listening, and then she made an appointment, and it was at the same time I was doing the brain healing group, and I gave him a very specific protocol, because I said the mistake is thinking it's all in the brain. Frequently it's in the gut. And so I had a whole new program with billions upon billions of positive bacteria, probiotics going in the gut bacteria, getting them on a very different diet, and then with methylated B12, methylated folic acid and folate, paradoxal 5-phosphate, especially a highly absorbable form of B6, also re-energizing the gut by helping to get rid of leaky gut, because autism sufferers frequently have chronic diarrhea.
Mm.
In fact, one woman I spoke to, her son had diarrhea about 7 hours a day, and so she couldn't take him anywhere because he'd have this diarrhea. And then another woman I counseled, she said that she couldn't take him any place because he would start screaming, and screaming in a way that people thought that she was abusing him, and she had, you know, child custody come, child services, because of neighbors complaining this person's abusing their child. Was no abuse. It's when you have autism and you have someone screaming, they don't stop. They don't stop after 5 minutes or 5 hours. They literally can do it all day long or all night long.
And you think, too, about the frustration of the individual with the condition who's simply trying to communicate but has no means to do so and is locked inside of that malfunctioning brain.
And the guilt that a mother and father feels of, what did I do? It must have been me. There's a defect in the genes. And when I explained, it's not the gene. It's all those vaccines. It's environmental stimulants. Because some people are toxic to certain environmental substances. Other people don't have a problem handling. They have different redox in their liver, different amounts of glutathione. They can get rid of a toxin. Other people can't. They accumulate it, and it frequently goes to the brain. In any case, over a period of a year and a half, in effect, we rebuilt his biochemistry. And so here he's standing on a stage before thousands of scientists and talking about himself. By the way, I just heard from him 3 weeks ago. His father, he's in college, and he's at the top of his class. You don't have ever this happen.
And the diagnosis from medical doctors had been to simply medicate him and medicate him further. Their methodologies, their science, could do nothing else.
And I did a film on this called The Drugging of Our Children, and then I did a film called Autism Made in the USA. And my final day of shoot was in Chicago, and it had taken us 6 months, and Minette Loud, my producer on the film, had spent 6 months contacting parents whose children had been on holistic protocols of DANS, what's called DAN, which is a holistic protocol, and my protocols and other protocols. And so there we are, we're setting up, and it's in a big ballroom in a hotel, and there are about 400 people. And it was neat because all the children, a few girls, but almost all boys, had blazers on and little ties and looked just, you know, very cute. And so And the parents are behind me, and I'm doing my setup shots, and we went from the smallest little kids right up to, I think it was a 17-year-old, and so you see the from shortest to the tallest, youngest to the oldest, and they're very very patient, you know, and I say, okay, everyone, we're going to film now. And I started, and I did a slow sweep showing all these wonderful faces. And then when I got to the last guy and I was going to do some close-ups, he held up his hand. He said, may I say something? I said, sure. And fortunately, I kept it rolling, and because I wouldn't have got this otherwise. And he said, I just want to thank my parents for not giving up.
Mm.
Of that. Autistic kids can change. I was in a room with all these 400 people. I spoke with them in depth. I had filmed them. And it wasn't just me. It was from a lot of different therapies. I went up to Connecticut to film an environmental person who especially was environmental toxicity, where he would put people in clean environments, clean up their diet. And four of the different people that I filmed were medical doctors. And not only am I filming all these medical doctors, but I'm filming these doctors whose own children had developed autism because of the vaccines. And one was a board-certified professor, pediatrics. And she said, I was pro-vaccine to the max. I believed in vaccines. And I insisted my kid get vaccinated. And I was absolutely intemperate with any parent who asked me any question about vaccine. I thought they were just stupid and irresponsible. So I prided myself that I'm vaccinating my kids. My kid developed autism. Completely normal beforehand and then autistic after. And boy, was that a wake-up call for me. Now, the message here was this. Who knew in the medical community, which pediatricians now know, that there was a room full of 400 parents and their kids who are living normal lives? Who knew that the person who has had the greatest turnaround that I'm aware of in the world is Jonathan Ortega? Now in college, he's able to do everything a normal kid would be doing, and otherwise he'd be dead. Long ago, he had been in an institution. There's only so long you can live in an institution medicated.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, if I were to take him tomorrow on 60 Minutes, I know exactly how it would happen. And let me give you an example of what would happen. They might listen to Jonathan and the mother, but then immediately they would follow that with a whole group of people saying, well, as Dr. Schmuck from the Schmuckity Schmuck Schmuck, I can tell you with so many schmucks up my rear end that there is no such possibility, because if there was anyone able to heal something, we would heal it because we're the schmuck doctors. And we had the degrees from Harvard, Yale, and these people don't. Show us the peer-reviewed studies. Well, you've never published one because you've never done the research. I have.
Mm.
Now, have you been with me when I have open calls, when I've asked any doctor who wants to learn how to treat someone holistically? I'll show them. No. There have been doctors. Dr. Alan Pressman used to come into my office. Dr. Martin Feldman would sit quietly every day at night. He would finish his work, then he'd come over because I would work with my people at night.
I know of Dr. Feldman.
He would sit quietly. But no one else would learn. So on the one hand, 60 Minutes would pride itself that there was balance. Well, let me tell you something, friend, and I want to make myself so goddamn clear that if you can't understand this, you don't have equality in a debate where you got a Nazi on one side and a Jew coming out of a concentration camp on the other. And to me, American medicine is engaged in medical genocide. Am I angry about it? You bet. Am I going to back off? Not an inch. Am I going to get in their face as an activist? I've been my whole life. You bet. Why? Why? Because I know I'm going to be attacked, Tony. I know that there are all kinds of people out there who would love you to step over a line because you're not being politically correct. Well, I've never been politically correct about anything. But what I have been, Tony, I've been on the side of right when it comes to knowing what causes illness and helping people. I put the interest of the patient first. I put the interest of people's health first, not selling a drug that doesn't work and that can actually kill someone. So when 60 Minutes, and I loathe 60 Minutes, when those people who call themselves journalists who are not, when they have the courage to take on the entire cancer community and show the fraud of 97% of people not benefiting from chemotherapy and actually dying over 50% from the treatment, not the disease. When they have the courage, Tony, to talk about the statins and courage to call out all the psychiatrists and the chemical imbalance of cause of mental illness and the praise of all these kids being drugged every morning, 10 million American kids. Yeah, when they have the courage to do that, then I'll start to watch them and believe them. Otherwise, everything in America is political, and politics is driven by money and power. So, yeah, we don't have the peer-reviewed literature on our side, Tony. We just have healed people.
Well, yeah, well, you know, that's not good enough, Gary.
No, am I going to kiss the ass of American medicine? No, I'm not.
That's the way it goes. 516-620-3602. That's Gary Nolan. I guess, Gary, the analogy that you're making there between the concentration camp survivor and the Nazi is that they'll never see eye to eye. And so no matter what you say to these doctors, no matter how you approach them, they will not see your perspective in the face of success after success after success, in the face of people reversing autism in the face of people who have been told that they are going to die. And when they add natural supplements and exercise and stress management into their lives, their brains change and their lives change. It's been done, and Gary Null has been responsible for it for years. And the science says medicate them and put them into a home. There's nothing else that we can do. A different scientist and a different group of scientists. Gary isn't the only person that practices this kind of protocol. He's not standing in the field alone. There are many people in the field who put forward the same kinds of solutions.
But Tony,
and they
we're
are
never
left
the people
aside.
That anyone goes to first.
They're never, and you're never featured on 60 Minutes, even when Dr. Bernstein, what's the doctor's name in Texas?
Brzezinski.
It took forever for him to get a fair hearing in any kind of media.
And who wrote the first article in American history on Stanislaw Brzezinski?
I have no idea. Why don't you enlighten me, Gary?
I did.
There you go.
And who got Dr. Brzezinski on 2020, which won two Emmys?
Gary Null. That story I've heard before.
And Lawrence Burton on 60 Minutes. I did. Let me tell you what happens when you make the mistake of taking on Big Pharma. When you take on the trolls and the scientists for hire and the quackbusters and all these other charlatans out there, you end up becoming persona non grata. So when a reporter comes to me at the Biltmore Hotel and I've got 1,200 people in a room and I'm there to do a lecture, and this person wants to know about whether or not nutrition actually makes a difference, so I simply say to the person, let's ask the audience. So I said, audience, this is a reporter from a newspaper. How many people here had medically untreatable, successfully untreatable conditions, but using natural non-toxic methods were able to reverse it? All these hands went up. I said, how many cancer? Hands went up. Heart disease? Hands went up. Blood pressure lowering? Hands went up. Diabetes? Hands went up. Conditions called mental illness that were not, but normal behavior to which you were medicated? Hands went up. I said, so that's your story. I'm merely the messenger. I'm the messenger who every day of my life wakes up and spends 8 hours to 10 hours to 15 hours looking for the proof wherever I can find it that a better way of living exists. Why don't you talk with these people? The person wouldn't talk with those people. The person was not there to do an objective, honest job of looking for the truth. The person was there to make sure that the Gary Nulls of the world are not given credit, are not given any credibility, are not given financing or support. Every study I've done, 43 studies, I had to pay for out of my own pocket.
Mm.
And I don't mind doing that, Tony, as long as I'm a best-selling author and I can take my royalties and put them into projects like documentaries, I'm happy to do that. But also, I'm a warrior healer. I'm out there fighting the fights. When you've published 723 articles, when you've done 300 original investigative reports, when you're trying to find the truth and you know standing between the truth, which is easy to find, and the people who benefit from it is a huge, huge trillion-dollar-a-year industry, the medical-industrial complex. They control the media. They control the think tanks. They control the funding. They control the legislative process. They control the FDA, the USDA. They control the so-called truth factors. And so that's why I have such respect, such admiration for the people like Linus Pauling and Lawrence Burton and Stanislaw Brzezinski. These are not fighters.
Hear, hear.
These are people who are healing. We need to respect those people. So for those of us who are not afraid, you're a fighter, Tony. BEI is loaded with fighters. We have more courageous producers. We have more courageous journalists. We have more people willing to tell the truth, even if people don't want to hear it outside. Even if what is a truth on BAI is considered nonsense anywhere else, we are not afraid to demonstrate. We are not afraid to protest. We are not afraid to investigate. We're not afraid to tell the truth. Now, if I have to show the distemper of my outrage at a medical industrial complex that has caused 10 million people suffering from cancer to die needlessly in the last 20 years, those are official statistics, by the way. Imagine 10 million people.
Mm-hmm.
So if you cause 10 million people to die and you don't change a single policy, a single protocol, a single instrument of treatment, you don't change your ideology, you don't change your methods, if you're helping people, then come and show me what you're doing and I'll be there to support you in your efforts. Otherwise, I'm not.
Because
so when it came to the brain and they're giving drugs. Why drugs? Because they make a profit from it. Are these drugs reversing Alzheimer's, reversing Parkinson's, reversing multiple sclerosis, reversing attention deficit disorders? No, they are not. Have they ever reversed, ever, one single person with Alzheimer's? No. What do you think happened when I had those people in Washington, D.C., that I brought one after another up on stage, one after another, and they were talking? I wasn't coaching them. They had no preparation. They simply went up and gave about 3 or 4 minutes of what had changed in their lives from the study they were in, and then we left the stage. We didn't even take 22 minutes. We took 12 minutes. So we went outside, and there's this huge corridor. At least 1,000 doctors and scientists poured out of there wanting to know, what the hell did they just see? And I said, what you saw was the truth of a paradigm that exists, natural healing, outside of the medical healing, because you're all sitting there wanting million-dollar grants to do research on new stem cells to impact some mitochondrial adjustment in the brain, and we have a whole human being here. We have 100 trillion cells that have changed. And that was enormously important. So when I did a documentary, Tony, and they get the documentary when they call in right now.
That's true.
And I got all these scientists on there talking about the right way to treat the brain, the right way to help the brain, the right way to prevent the brain from aging, the right way to rejuvenate brain cells. These are not people that are part of the orthodoxy. They were all orthodox trained. They're all board certified. They're all, you know, generally almost all in academia and in private practice, but they took a step outside because the truth could not be found in the existing paradigm. They had to walk one step outside and then turn around and say, my God, I'm finding truth here. I didn't know diet was important. I didn't know nutrients were important. I didn't know stress was management was important. I didn't know the environment you were living in and working in was important. I didn't know that plastic that you put in a microwave with food in it can leach off into the body and impact the brain. I didn't know fluoride in the water supply could impact the brain. I didn't know that electromagnetic pulses out of a cell phone can impact the brain. I didn't know that a television set and a computer can impact the brain. I didn't know that a lack of exercise could impact the brain. I didn't know oxidative stress could impact the brain because I was not taught it. I was taught pharmacology, a drug for every mental symptom.
But the truth, Gary, can't be contained. While they can try to stop it, they can try to contain it, it can't be. And that's why we have 99.5 FM, and that's why the Gary Null Show is heard here Monday through Friday from noon to 1 p.m. Give us a call, folks. We're talking about the brain. We're talking about the health of your brain. And we're talking about one of the individuals in this country who has been vilified, who has been attacked, who has been called out. And yet, all he does is reverse these conditions that can't be reversed. You have to think about this, folks. When the medical industry, and indeed it's an industry, they're making profits off of these conditions, why would they reverse them? If you had a business that you were making trillions of dollars, billions of dollars every year off of, and somebody said, hey, you could reverse that with an apple, would you go out and give people the apple? Or would you rather be out on the golf course by 2 p.m. and hanging out with your boys? I know that's what I would rather be doing. 516-620-3602. Gary Null's memory stuff, a pledge of $90. These doctors have condemned people to death. These doctors have condemned people to nursing homes. These doctors have condemned people to institutions when there was something available that they didn't know about. Their nutritional training was left out of their education. They simply don't know in many cases because this is not a part of their education. It's, as Gary said just a moment ago, a pharmaceutical for every condition. Why? Because then there's profit. That's not what we're doing at WBAI. We're asking you to support so that we keep this station going. We're not making a profit here. We're keeping this station going so we can stand up to that system. The very system Gary was just talking about, 516-620-3602. Give us a phone call right now. At the pledge level of $130, we will send you not only Gary's memory stuff, but his DVD, Healing the Brain Naturally, which features not only his protocols, but many other professionals in the field, as you just heard Gary describe.
Including discussions on neuroplasticity and how the brain is far more dynamic than what we've ever been led to believe.
We used to be told, Gary, that the brain couldn't heal itself.
Heart couldn't be changed. Whatever heart cells you had at birth, you had at death.
All of that's been changed. All of that's been reversed because the science has proven that science wrong. And that, I mean, that's what it is, folks. We've got to stay on top of this. And without a Gary Null, where would you hear this in the media? Where would you hear this information? I'll tell you where. Almost nowhere. But you do at 99.5 FM. That's why we have Gary Null in the station. That's why he's been here for 40 years, challenging the mainstream as he's doing right here this afternoon. And it takes your dollars of support to keep him on these airwaves and to keep that going. 516-620-3602, a pledge of just $90 for Gary's memory stuff. If you pledge previously for the brain stuff, you're going to get this memory stuff, because what Gary's done is he sent it back to the factory. That's why you haven't received it yet. And he added two more ingredients to make it even better. And now it's available to you. 516-620-3602. It's being bottled right now. And
Tony, let me tell people what's in memory stuff.
Please do.
And again, I do not want people to think that somehow this is a magic cure-all for everything that's wrong with your brain. You have to look at our study took 16 months, and you should have a support system, someone to help you exercise, to motivate you, to keep you focused on exercising, to get your weight down, to get your blood pressure down, to get your, that will help your brain, to reduce oxidative stress.
Can I just interject something here?
To help you do some exercising, even if you did something as simple as walking to a park each day and getting some green space time, being around flowers, being around trees, being around the Brooklyn Botanical Gardens.
Especially in this city where there's so much concrete, Gary. It's really important.
Green space, but that de-stresses it. Being able to listen to maybe some music or CDs with water running, that's very distressing. And then the changing the diet. Now, I don't ask you to change your diet all at once. If you take one bad thing per week out of your diet, dairy, when it goes out, it stays out. Now, there are dairy substitutes. So it's not as if you're depriving yourself of some, you know, a cheddar cheese. You can get cheddar coconut cheese. It's made from coconut. It's actually healthy. It's good for you. Turns off inflammation, helps digestion, helps heal any problems with your stomach. And the right oils, the coconut oil, the olive oil, the monounsaturated oils, the almond, avocado oils. Avocados are one of nature's great foods. Walnuts, a handful of walnuts help your heart. Flaxseed. Plant-based proteins, you get your protein from beans and grains and nuts and seeds, sunflower seeds, pumpkin seeds, sesame seeds. When you make the changes in your diet, when you're exercising and de-stressing, then when you're doing something like taking a powder or supplement, then you have an opportunity to see some real and legitimate change. Don't just think, I just have to do this, nothing else, because that's not going to work. And I don't pretend that it's anything other than a complement to an overall whole strategy. Now, when you do that, then what would I put in memory stuff that the average person is not getting in their body but the brain really benefits from? Well, I put in the flaxseed, but I put in acetyl L-carnitine, green tea extract, 98% polyphenols. That's a high level of polyphenols. Glycerol phosphorylcholine, cacao, alpha-lipoic acid, quercetin, rosemary, Siberian ginseng, ginkgo biloba, pentothenic acid, B1, calcium, magnesium, the things that really make a difference. Now, all you have to do, you can Google any one of those and see the relationship, because I don't make claims. You can see the relationship between why should I take that, what is the likely outcome of taking that, and how does that impact anything in my body. And that will give you the evidence you need. You either have the confidence or not. When you put it all together, then there's every reasonable expectation that you can see major changes. Now, as a scientist, as a real scientist, not a faux scientist, I'll tell you, I'm not one of those people that have ever allowed anything to be sold out, meaning I don't sell out. So, and there have been a lot of opportunities, but you don't see me doing endorsements out there.
Oh, there
I
have
do
to
my
be
own
for
research.
You.
I pay for my own research. And for 33 years, I was the research fellow at the Institute of Biology in anti-aging medicine. And I published in peer-reviewed literature. And I do studies on human beings, lifestyle and behavior modification, not medical. And so I want to show people that there's legitimacy. I have a PhD in human nutrition and public health science. I'm a registered dietitian. I'm a licensed board-certified clinician and nutrition therapies. And so I have the background to be very critical of what input I have.
Oh, I thought you were just making this up.
If I want to do something, I'm going to spend my time. I'm not going to rush anything. and I'm going to do it right. And here's my final thought on this, Tony. When that reporter that day came, excuse me, it was the Roosevelt Hotel. When that reporter that day came to the Roosevelt Hotel, and I was giving a lecture, and someone from my office says, yeah, go down, Gary's doing a lecture. And I invited that person to speak with any one of these people. Do you know what the reporter told me?
Hmm.
The reporter said, well, this is all anecdotal. I said, excuse me, what do you mean anecdotal? I said, every single doctor's visit in the world is anecdotal.
Hello.
Every time a doctor, what does the doctor say? How you doing? How you feeling? How's the meds working? Are you in pain? Less or more? Everything is anecdotal. If you have 1,000 people in a study, each one of those are anecdotal. Each person is telling you what they think. Every day we publish hundreds of peer-reviewed studies in the world literature that are anecdotal. The fact that you have so many people doing something, like the nurses study, there have been hundreds of nurses studies published with tens of thousands of nurses. They're not all on one diet. But when I'm doing a protocol, everyone must follow the exact same protocol, the exact diet, the exact nutrients, the exact exercise, exact stress management, and that's as close to a perfect study as you can get, but it's still anecdotal. So I said to the woman, in fact, I was standing there, I said, so you're now going to disempower all these women. How in the world could you call yourself as a woman journalist? How could you call yourself a feminist journalist? And you're allowing that woman who, oh, reversed her breast cancer right there. Reversed her breast cancer. She had stage 4 breast cancer. She had given up on medical treatment because it hadn't worked for her. She went on a cleansing program, a detox program, high intravenous vitamins and herbs, and it reversed her breast cancer. She's 6 years post-cancer, no cancer in the body for 6 years. You're going to say that that didn't happen, or if it did, it was from a placebo? Then show me any other woman at Sloan Kettering who reversed their end-stage cancer, walked out of that hospital with no cancer. Show me one single placebo that reversed that cancer. You can't. It doesn't exist.
Who walked out of that hospital with her breasts intact,
yes,
and without,
I said, so,
cancer.
I said, you're not here to do a story on natural treatments that work. You're here to try to show that natural therapy is only taking advantage of people who are vulnerable, and therefore we can't trust anyone's improvements because it was all in their mind. I'm the first person to write a series called Medical Genocide. It went 58 series. 2020 did a piece, 60 Minutes, Gabe Pressman did a piece, Channel 5 did a piece, and I stuck by it. My publisher said, you really want to go that hard on him? I said, you bet I do. Because when you cause someone's death by your negligence, your indifference, your intentional ignorance of not wanting to know the truth, then you have to be held morally accountable for that outcome.
And they're not telling that story on television. They're not telling that story in the mainstream. They're not telling the story that 400,000 people plus per year die just from going to the hospital, just from doctor's visits.
That's correct. And who wrote the article called Death by Medicine that took 5 years to write using only their statistics? Five of us did. Five MDs and PhDs. And how many people within mainstream medicine use that article to see what they should change and change the patterns, the protocols, the studies, the internship, the residency, and the treatment? Not one. So when you got 900,000 doctors and you got about 1,000 using natural non-toxic therapies, then what is 1,000 to 900,000? And you realize, my God, one-tenth of 1% are willing to change? 99.9% of doctors not willing to change? Why? That's what the media should be covering. That's the story we have to get to. The largest single expense in the American budget is $3.3 trillion this year, and we will lose more people to medical negligence and mistakes than heart disease or cancer or stroke or diabetes. It's be the number one cause, yet there won't be a single meeting, not a single criticism from the media, and no one will say anything about that. But cure someone, help someone, improve someone.
And you're a charlatan.
Using natural, and suddenly you got it, you know, they got you in their crosshairs, and they're going to do all they can on the internet to destroy you, censoring you from being able to give that information on radio or television, and try to paint you. Well, Tony, I've been in this battle on BAI for nearly 41 years every day, and I have been in the total battle for 50 years. I'm in my 50th year as a social activist, and look back at all the things we believed in, we fought for. We were against DDT. They were for it.
Mm.
We were against the copper coil 7. They were for it.
Mm.
We were against saccharin and cyclamates. They were for it.
Preach.
We were against formaldehyde embalming fluid and used in preserving carpets and clothes. They were for it. We were against the sugar used in the American diet. They were for it. We were against synthetic estrogen therapy. They were for it.
They told us to smoke, Gary. I mean, back when my
That's
father
correct.
Was a kid, they said smoking was okay.
Lucky Strikes, Chesterfields, Marlboro. We were for the things that now in retrospect seem almost too simple to even have been an issue of debate, but were hotly debated at the time. So today, the very same mindset still pervades. You do not find on CNN with Anderson Cooper the truth about vaccines.
Or anything
else. Or the
else.
Truth about Andrew Wakefield, or the truth about autism and its actual causes. And you don't see people at the CDC fired and excoriated from lying and manipulating by knowing the truth and allowing African-American boys under the age of 36 months be given an MMR vaccine that had over 220% increase in autism, and they hid that information. Dr. William Thompson did. He had a mea culpa told of Brian Hooker, who was recording the conversation, and suddenly we now find out the truth about what happens. Did Anderson Cooper and CNN then go over the air and do an expose on CNN and William Thompson? No.
That might be precisely because it's black boys that are most affected by this vaccine, Gary, and that information is shocking. Many people in the public still don't know that. That MMR vaccine, the autism that we're talking about very often on our programs here concerned with health, that we've been saying forever, MMR vaccines are dangerous. It's black boys who are being most affected by this. But there is something natural, and they will ignore it, but we won't. That's why we have a WBAI, and that's why Gary Null is on the station. I'm telling you, folks, this information is vitally important, and I use the word vitally in every way that you can think of it. It is vitally important to this station. It's important to our mission. It's important to the Gary Null Show, and it's important for our listening audience, because you're not going to go to your doctor and they're going to say, hey, you can change your diet and you can add some supplements and do some breathing exercises and tinge your stress level, and then you won't need to pay me any more money. They're not going to say that. But what we're asking folks is to support the station that brings you that message. The station that has been doing it for 40 plus years. It's WBAI. Call us 516-620-3602. We've been talking about brain health on the Gary Null Show this afternoon. We're offering you Gary's latest supplement that is being bottled today. It's called the Memory Stuff. It's a pledge level of just $90. You hear what this man has done. He is a scientist. He has been attacked over and over. I remember when Gary Null put up his own money to defend Dr. Wakefield, who was right all along. I remember that Gary Null has over and over come to these airwaves. You know, Gary, I used to listen to you in the middle of the night. Out in Los Angeles, because your program was on Tuesday nights from midnight to 6. And I used to listen to it there, and there was so much information which challenged the mainstream, but so many things my father had taught me as a child, reading from different books. Back to Eden was one of the books in my home that my father referenced. He subscribed to Mother Earth News. All of these natural things, and I had to drink lettuce juice and cabbage juice without an apple, by the way. It was disgusting. My dad didn't know to sweeten it. But those things we were doing in my home, and those he would say to us specifically, doctors don't know everything. Well, yes, of course, you need them when you have an emergency, but you've got to read for yourself and know your own body. That's what we're talking about, folks. 516-620-3602. 516-620-3602. A pledge of $130 gets you Gary Null's Memory Stuff with two new ingredients. We used to call it the Brain Stuff. It's now called the Memory Stuff. It's two new ingredients have been added. Along with that, for your pledge of $130, we're going to send you Gary's Healing the Brain Naturally DVD. It is Gary's protocols. It's other professionals and researchers and doctors in this field of natural medicine.
Neurologists, brain experts. You got to see this film. This is an important documentary. Look, Tony, I've got to go in a moment here because I'm filming today.
Yes.
And my camera crew's going crazy because my guests are impatient. So I'm going to do this. here's my final thought. Each day, Monday through Friday, when you listen at noon, you hear that I come on the air, I'm always prepared. I cite the studies, I cite the universities, I only use peer-reviewed literature, I do commentaries, my own and others. It's for people to be empowered by critical thought. I try to give as many different points of view and allow people a chance to think, but then at the end of the day, there's this one question. Who's standing up for the people who are sick? Who's out there putting their reputation on the line? There's a handful of people. I've been blessed with the privilege of being able to defend people's rights of freedom of choice. I respect what works within Orthodox medicine. I think we have the finest emergency care in the world. And if it's a broken, you know, tooth, or if it's a heart attack, or if it's a surgery, a microsurgery, we're the best in the world. Where we fail is in chronic care. So who advocates when a person has got a choice? 99% of the time, people are going to take the Orthodox choice. And what if it doesn't work? What if, in spite of all that they've been promised and all the money they spent and all the best so-called doctors, what if at the end of all that, they still die? Then is anybody apologizing for the system not being right, the protocols not being right, the study not being right? No. Nobody apologized. We're rewarding people for failure. Now, I believe that if you were an airline pilot and 97% of the times you took off, you crashed your plane and everyone died, I think that you wouldn't have that pilot flying or that airline flying or that plane flying. But we have this odd relationship with medicine. We're not allowed to criticize it. If we do, somehow we're considered heretical. We believe that the only truth is official scientific medicine, and there's nothing scientific about most medicine. And yet, when it fails, it's still rewarded, and our allegiance still stays strong to it. The only time anyone comes to an alternative position is when everything else has been given up, when everything else has been tried and it doesn't work. Then and only then do we say, okay, let's try the alternative approach. Well, I got to tell you something. I've spent my whole life advocating on behalf of the guy who's down and out, the man and woman and the child who has no one advocating for them. And I don't mind being there. I don't mind the attacks. I've learned to accept them long time ago. And I still go forward. So when I say that who's going to advocate for the person who, if they take a wrong choice, could die, and yet medicine never considers its choice wrong. It condemns the very thing that nature has given us, natural ways of stimulating healing. Now, I'm not suggesting a person should give up their medicines. I'm not suggesting a person should take my advice. I'm suggesting that by being healthier, every condition is improved in your chance of survival. The stronger your immune system, the more competent your circulatory system, the stronger your heart, the better your brain, the less oxidative stress. The longer you're going to live, the better you have to fight any condition. They only have one way to go about it: surgery, radiation, and chemotherapy. That's it. So when you look at chronic care and you think, why haven't we had cures with all these trillions of dollars spent year after year for the last 40 years? Maybe we ought to do something different. Fine. Between doing something different that could work is profit. And these guys do not give up billions of dollars without a fight. And they have the media on their side. They have the internet on their side. They have foundations and think tanks on their side. They have the rule of law on their side. And as a result, it's not simply enough to have the truth on your side and have some people who have improved to different degrees or even been cured, because they won't recognize it. They will denigrate it. They'll denigrate the patient. They'll denigrate you. They'll denigrate everyone else associated with that philosophy. And as a result, this is what's holding us back from healing. If we don't have universal care, which we should have,
hello,
all right, which any civilized society would, so no one is left behind, there would be no bankruptcy and no one having to decide if they should have one finger re-sewed on when two were cut off because they can't afford two, then we as a society have failed. Hippocrates, the first rule of Hippocrates was first do no harm. Well, if you applied the principle of first do no harm, you've just eliminated 80% of American medicine.
Mm.
So we need a complete detoxification, a complete cleansing of the philosophy by which medicine has been enshrined into this golden egg-laying process. Profit should not come ahead of people. Now, am I an advocate? Yes. Am I willing to go out there and raise hell? You bet. Am I willing to be a target and attack for my beliefs? Any day you want.
Mm.
You want a debate? I'm there.
Mm-hmm.
As you know, Tony, I open my airwaves. I do not censor people, nor do I hedge any debate. If I believe that a debate will allow people a chance to hear both sides of an issue, I don't look at it as a blood sport. I look at it as a moment of enlightenment. I believe that we need moments of enlightenment for the public to become aware. But am I passionate? You bet I'm passionate. Because when someone's going to suffer and someone's going to die and someone's going to stay with autism or someone's going to stay with Alzheimer's, someone's going to stay with multiple sclerosis when they don't have to, when there's a capacity to make improvement, then I'm going to get in someone's face and say, what you're doing is not right. You should let people know there are other approaches to this, not just your drug approach. And they're not willing to allow that. And they're cowards because instead of debating, they shun. They don't need to debate you anymore, Tony. They control the Internet.
Come
they
on.
Have thousands of trolls. They can destroy your reputation. They can make you a non-entity unless it's the people you've helped. And thank goodness there have been millions of people impacted and helped over the decades. And so at least we have people through word of mouth only telling one another, you know, I gave up coffee, and then I gave up sugar, and then I gave up, and I started to feel better. My swelling went away. And I gave up eating late at night, and suddenly I can sleep through the night. And I gave up having to have a cell phone beside my pillow. Gee whiz, I don't wake up with migraines anymore. We have enough people who have enough experience that we actually have a movement, and it's a healthy movement. It's a vital movement. There are 18 million Americans who now classify themselves as vegan. Wow. Back in 1972, there was only less than 0.5%. So we've gone from about 200,000 Americans to 18 million who are
vegan.
That's
a movement.
So, Tony, we are moving, and we're not going to be stopped.
Hello.
We're not going to be stopped by the so-called quackbusters or the truth deniers. We're not going to be stopped by these people that will get a form and attack, but will never confront you face-to-face.
Mm-hmm.
I have no fear of these people, Tony. I have no fear of the truth. And at least on our side, we have results that show people living longer lives. I don't want to see another one of the people come into my office and say, Gary, I'm having trouble with my memory. Can you give me a protocol? And I give them a protocol, and the next day they come in and say, Gary, I'm having a problem with my memory. Can you give me a protocol? It's like Groundhog Day.
Mm-hmm.
They forgot they were ever there, and they forgot the protocol. We can help these people, Tony. We can help a person's brain. Now, I don't know how else to say it, and I'm saying it as honestly and diligently as I can. So give a call to this station because this station does count. This station is not afraid to raise hell. This station has a lot of voices from Janet Coleman and a lot of other people who have stood up and yelled it out, that we're not afraid and we're sick and tired and we're not going to take it anymore. And BAI still got the truth in its gut, and it's not afraid to bring it forth. We're no longer NPR, Wonder Bread for the Brain. We are not compromised. We are a group of individuals who fear nothing except the loss of truth in our dialogue capacity.
Hello.
I've got to go. I thank all of you for listening. I hope that you will get this package for the one or two or three people in your life who may not know that this exists. Whether they choose to use it or not is up to them. I believe in freedom of choice. I also believe that they should have the knowledge that there are people who have been reversing. And when I sat in that room in Chicago and I saw 400 people and I knew the long, torturous journey that they went through, and you can watch that for free up on my YouTube channel. It's called Autism Made in the USA. And when you see this, these people, and you hear how a woman was visited by her neighbors wanting her to move out because her kid was screaming, and she couldn't leave the house because the kid couldn't leave the house. And she was cleaning up diarrhea 7 to 8 hours a day, and now she wasn't. The kid was normal. The journey of healing. And there are good doctors. There are good nutritionists. There are good parents out there, wonderful parents, helping them. Why is no one talking about them? Why aren't they on the front page of the New York Times? Why isn't CNN doing a discussion on them? Why don't we see this on 60 Minutes? Because the truth is this, Tony, if we show one patient who cured their autism kid, then it means that you could cure others. And once you start opening the possibility, you then begin to lose faith that the only other approach is through medicines to try to deal with the symptoms instead of something to reverse the cause. And so they don't want any truth out. They won't allow a single truth out about cancer, a single truth about mental illness, a single truth about arthritis, a single truth about diabetes. Because they, once they recognize it can be reversed, then they recognize someone else can have it reversed. And they've got such a proprietary mind, a profit-based mind, a greed-based mind, such intolerance for the human spirits, such alienation from ethics and morality, that they will not allow any competition. It is a complete monopoly. And as a result, they have won, except for those small number of people who are still willing to listen to shows like we have on VAI, my show at noon, for 40, going on 41 years. And thank goodness for that and the opportunity. So I appreciate the opportunity I'm given, the gift I'm given, and I will not dishonor that gift by not coming prepared and empowering people every single day, noon to one. And with this premium, you're being empowered. You're watching people you would not know exist. You're watching people give you insights you would not know exist. And that is empowering. So, Tony, thank you for what you're doing there. Thank the people for calling in right now. And I look forward to being on the air tomorrow. Have a nice day, everyone.
You too, Gary. Thank you for being here with us. Folks, it's WBAI. This is the Gary Null Show. My name is Tony Bates. Give us a call right now, 516-620-3602. A $90 pledge for Gary Null's memory stuff. Also, you can pledge at the $130 level and get that memory stuff along with Gary's Healing the Brain Naturally. You heard that impassioned plea. All of what Gary just said, folks, is why there is a WBAI. We're not here because we want to just be weirdos and put forward some message. We exist because the messaging that we present on this station cannot be found in the mainstream. The mainstream media will not put these stories forward. They will not tell of Gary Null's successes. They will do hit pieces on him and call him a charlatan and call him a quack and call him all kinds of names. But they will not show his successes because that's their job. It's how the system protects itself. You see, the media protects the portion of the system that is the medical portion of the system. And if the media won't show these unchangeable, these uncurable diseases reversed, then it doesn't exist. That's why WBAI, folks. That's why 99.5 FM. It's why every dollar that you send here matters. You are empowering us to get a message out. We're fighting the entire octopus monster that is the media that's owned by about six people. We're not owned by one of those six entities. We're owned by you, our listeners, and by our producers. And by the six or seven people that work in this building. It's a community effort here, folks. And we can't do it without you. Please give us a call right now. 516-620-3602. 516-620-3602. You can visit also givetowbai.org. And you can get Gary Null's memory stuff pack at the pledge level of $130. That includes Gary's brand new creation, Memory Stuff. It used to be called Brain Stuff. And if you haven't received your Brain Stuff yet, it's being bottled and will be being shipped out to you. But if you haven't received it yet, Gary sent it back to the factory and he added two more ingredients and he's now calling it Memory Stuff. That's going to come out to you. But it's here at WBAI because we cannot go for the okey-doke that the mainstream has. We exist to challenge it. We exist to do things alternatively. That's why they call us alternative media. It's because that's who we are. 60 Minutes, CNN, MSNBC, all those alphabet soup of channels, they won't tell this story, but they'll feed you some pharmaceuticals with the side effect of death. Or the side effect is you can't touch a pregnant woman. It may kill her embryo, but go ask your doctor if you should have that. Not here on WBAI, 516-620-3602, a $90 pledge of support to this station for Gary Null's memory stuff. Pledge at the $130 level. We will send you the memory stuff along with Gary's Healing the Brain Naturally. Gary stayed here today because he was so impassioned about the message that he wanted to present to you. He stayed here. It cost him money to be here. He's got a film crew waiting. He's got people that he's supposed to be filming waiting. But his passion for health, his passion for this topic, his passion for freedom of speech kept him here for an extra hour to present that message to you, I'm asking that you support that right now. 516-620-3602. There is only one Gary Null, folks. Believe me. I'll tell you what. There's one of them. There is only that one. And we have him every day, Monday through Friday, from noon to 1. How impactful, how empowering and powerful were his words. He basically was telling us that we have the power if we will simply change our lifestyles. Instead of paying thousands of dollars to have our loved ones housed, put in a home, instead of paying thousands of dollars for our own mental health and being given drugs that dim us and that condemn us ultimately, rather than heal us, why not try the alternative? Exercise, stress relief, supplements. That's what Gary has done with his patients. Very specific protocols. It's not some one-time thing, but you'll see some of these protocols in the DVD, which is Healing the Brain Naturally. And it's not just Gary Null. It's people that he respects, researchers, PhDs, neurologists, doctors, who have done this research and learned that nutrition can be more powerful than medicine. Food, as we know, is medicine. It's the first medicine. And so when you give your body those supplements, when you increase your exercise daily, when you find ways to relieve your stress that aren't darkening your mentality, you know, you're not hiding from yourself. When you find ways to do those things naturally, your body begins to do what it was created to do. It already comes with that wisdom. But Gary's put the supplements together. He had this ready for you, thought, you know what, I can do better, and he sent it back to the factory, added two more ingredients, and now it's available to you at the pledge level of $90. 516-620-3602. We've got just 5 minutes left, folks. We need another 20 callers on this line before we get out of here to get to our goal. We need another 20 of you. We only have 5 minutes to do that. Please call us at 516-620-3602. You can also visit give2wbai.org. That's give2wbai.org. And maybe you're just moved by Gary's passion this afternoon and you want to pledge at the $25 level to say thank you, or the $50 level, or whatever level. You know what you can do? You can take your cell phone and text the letters WBAI to the number 41444 and make a pledge of any size to WBAI. But a voice like Gary Null's, we only have one of them. The power of that, not just the power of his voice, the power of his research. 41 years on these airwaves, 50 years as an activist, and still being attacked and still being right. But that's how he ended up here at WBAI, because we are indeed the alternative. 516-620-3602. Thank you for those couple of calls. But like I said, we need another 20 in this last 5 minutes. Pledging at that $130 level, we will send you Gary's memory stuff along with Gary's Healing the Brain Naturally. There is so much here, folks. Gary has taken chances his entire career. He has been attacked. He has been pilloried. He has been vilified. And he has been right. Over and over and over again. 516-620-3602. 516-620-3602. When the man is right, don't sweat the technique. I'm just saying. 516-620-3602. Make a pledge of support to WBAI. Thank us with your $130 pledge for having Gary Null on these airwaves. Excuse me, that pledge gets you both the DVD and the memory stuff. Thank us for having Gary Null on these airwaves with your $90 pledge of support at 516-620-3602. That $90 pledge gets you Gary's memory stuff, which he has reconfigured and added more to for optimal function of the brain. Optimal function, of course, includes a lifestyle change. Exercise is particularly important. But that's for you to work out with Gary. or your medical practitioner even, but right now what I need you to do in these last 2 minutes is to get on that phone. I've got 2 minutes left in here, folks. I need these phones to ring. I want to know that you believe in WBAI. I want to know that you want to tune in tomorrow at noon and hear another Gary Null Show, because there is not another program like it. 516-620-3602. On that program, Gary deftly covers not only the medical world, but the political world, and in such a progressive way as to speak volumes versus what we hear in the mainstream. It's nonsense, it's pablum, and it is for the masses. WBAI listeners are not the masses. We are those thinking people, and we know that you can make your own decisions, folks. 516-620-3602. Gary Null argues that when you give the body the supplementation that it needs, it will simply begin to behave differently. It will do what it is programmed naturally to do. 516-620-3602. Let's get our brains started. I can't wait to get a hold of some of that brain stuff. My goodness, I'm looking forward to having that. And it will be here soon. And if you've already pledged, it will be there. I meant to say memory stuff. It will be there for you as well. But make sure you pledge that support in order to get it. It's just a $130 pledge at 516-620-3602 to get both the memory stuff and Gary's Healing the Brain Naturally DVD. All coming to you. You heard Gary's passion. You heard of his successes. It's time for you to make that choice for yourself. $90 pledge for the memory stuff. A $130 pledge gets you both the memory stuff and Gary's Healing the Brain Naturally DVD. Thank you so much for your pledges of support. My name is Tony Bates. I want to say thank you to Reggie Johnson and to Gary Null for being here. 516-620-3602.
Hi, my name is Michael G. Haskins, and I'm one of the hosts of The Morning Show, which airs Monday through Friday, 6 to 8 a.m. on this station. WBAI is listener-supported, commercial-free, resistance radio, challenging norms and defying them. Let's break down what that means. It means that no clandestine corporate entity tells me how to do my show. You better believe that. It means that you, the listener, and the diverse WBAI community have a voice which reverberates across the tri-state area. You drive this station, so fuel us. Donate by visiting give2wbai.org or pledge right now from your smartphone by texting the letters WBAI to 41444. And thank you for your support.
Hi, this is Christian McBride, and you're listening to WBAI New York, 99.5 FM, and WBAI.org on the web.
In February of 1962, President John F. Kennedy said, "We seek a free flow of information. A nation that is afraid to let the people judge the truth or falsehood in an open market is a nation afraid of its people." On November 29, 1802, Thomas Jefferson, the principal drafter of the Constitution and Bill of Rights, said, "The only security of all of us is in a free press." Mark Twain, America's greatest writer and early anti-imperialist, said, "There are laws to protect the freedom of the press's speech, but none to protect the people from the press," and later added, "If you don't read the newspapers, you're uninformed. If you do, you're misinformed."
You, John Fitzgerald Kennedy, do solemnly swear.
I, John Fitzgerald Kennedy, do solemnly swear.
That you will faithfully execute the office of President of the United States.
That I will faithfully execute the office of President of the United States.
As 1963 came on, and the agency is more and more lustful about getting into Southeast Asia, it finds itself with a president who has made a decision to withdraw the troops we had. Vietnam represents more in raw materials than any spot available to us in the world. They had to get into Southeast Asia, and only one thing was blocking them, and that was a man with reddish brown hair, about 5'11", and that's all. And for a major intelligence agency, that's like removing a fly from the table.
And will, to the best of my ability,
preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States.
Preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States.
So help you God.
So help me God.
Put me on, Bill. Put me on. The motorcade is coming by here. The presidential car coming up now. We know it's the presidential car. You see Mrs. Kennedy's pink suit. There's a Secret Service man, Spread Eagle, over the top of the car. We understand Governor and Mrs. Connolly are in the car with President and Mrs. Kennedy. We can't see who has been hit, if anybody's been hit, but apparently something is wrong here. Something is terribly wrong.
Here is a bulletin from CBS News. President Kennedy shot today just as his motorcade left downtown Dallas. He was wounded in an automobile driving from Dallas Airport into downtown Dallas, along with Governor Connolly of Texas. They've been taken to Parkland Hospital there, where their condition is as yet unknown.
The assassination would not have been attempted without assurance that certain members of the Dallas police force were going to cooperate.
From Dallas, Texas, the flash, apparently official, President Kennedy died at 1 p.m. Central Standard Time.
Hello, everyone. I am Christine Blasdale, and that was a small snippet clip from an incredible documentary that I am so very honored and very humbled to be presenting to you this hour. That's called The American Media and the Second Assassination of President John F. Kennedy. And I'm very, very pleased to have joining me in studio the film's director, Mr. John Barber. And you may recognize his voice, or when you hear his voice, you also may recognize his name. John has been known as the godfather of reality TV. He's an actor, a comedian, and television host, and is best known, I believe, for his NBC reality television series, Real People. When was that, John? Back in the
1979.
Oh, I love the 70s. Welcome, John Barber.
Christine, I can't tell you, first of all, how honored I am to be here. And you moved me so much with that surprisingly brilliant and emotional introduction to the first couple of minutes of my movie. You know, I love being here. First of all, I love that little sign that you have over your head, radio for the 99%. I am one of the founders of the 99%. With Real People, I almost got to be the 1%. Founding the AM show, then 10 years as a film critic for Los Angeles Magazine, 5 years at KNBC, and then creating Real People, which became the number one show in television at one time, Christine. That show got a 50 share, which means that one out of every two television sets was tuned into that show. And then in 1992, I had the opportunity to make the Garrison tapes, which was part one. And this, of course, is part two. I always listened to Pacifica. I always listened to Mae Brussel also. And I am so pleased to be back here and sitting with you and talking to your audience and maybe in some way repaying you and Pacifica Radio for all the great information that they have given me and everyone else over the years. So thank you for inviting me.
Well, I'm going to tell you, and I'm going to let our listeners know, I've been doing this type of, you know, I've been reviewing documentaries and films and from wonderful filmmakers. And I will say that this is so Pacifica. This is so something that I could fully embrace and stand behind and stand up and be proud of to present to our listeners. And I want to congratulate you on a phenomenal film. To give people a little bit of an idea, the American Media and the Second Assassination of President John F. Kennedy, in a nutshell, tells the story of how the CIA took over the media, the corporate media, that you know, the news, the television news, the newspapers, radio outlets, with something called Project Mockingbird, and this was to create real, actual fake news, as we term it now, to pursue their foreign policy, military objectives. Of course, back then in Cuba and Vietnam, and really the world as we know it. And it also tells the story of President Kennedy's war with the CIA, which got him in some big trouble over their lust for permanent war. But also what I really appreciate about this, because I've dealt with this myself. It tells your story, John, about your the challenges and the struggles that you faced in just getting a media platform for your the interview that you had done with Jim Garrison. Now, for people who are maybe not aware of the assassination, the of what happened afterward, especially, can you tell our listeners a little bit about who is Jim Garrison and why should our listeners know who he is?
Jim Garrison is probably the most courageous American who ever lived. I've met three geniuses in my life. One was Jim Garrison, one was Buckminster Fuller, the scientist, and the other was my son. You want to know something? Everything wonderful that's happened in my life, Christine, has happened by accident. And all the terrible things that happened to me were those things that were well planned. It has taken me 47 years to tell Jim Garrison's story. And the thing is, I am not a conspiracy theorist. When this first happened, when John Kennedy was shot in 1963, I was a stand-up comedian. And I was booked in the Hungry Eye. My second professional job was in 1963, the greatest nightclub in America, where Mort Saul started, Barbra Streisand, Bill Cosby, Jonathan Winters, Lenny Bruce. I was booked in September, and most of my act was about the Kennedys. And you might remember Von Meter. He did an album, sold 5 million copies in 10 days, called The First Family. As a matter of fact, John Kennedy talks about it in this documentary. So I wasn't a citizen at the time, so I had no interest much in American politics, but I did write good material. I was invited back to open on November 26th, which is 3 days after Kennedy's birthday. Mm-hmm. So I was in Los Angeles in my apartment when the news came over around noon that he had been shot. Now, I'm ashamed to say this, but the truth is that I wasn't worried about John Kennedy. I was worried about my act. Mm-hmm. And I went back on November 26th, and they were empty houses. Then the following week, I had to open in Fresno with a place that had 600 seats. And I thought, oh, my gosh, I'm going to die. I'm going to bomb in that place. It was sold out. It was the first time I realized that there were people in this country who hated John Kennedy. Well, years later, quite by accident, do you remember a wonderful announcer in town named Mario Machado? Mm-mm. Very successful here in town. And he saw me at the Ice House where Steve Martin was breaking in his act. And he came up to me and he said, I just auditioned for a show called The AM Show and you should do it. You should go in there and audition. I said, well, Mario, I can't do that. I'm a comic, for crying out loud. He said, yeah, but you do topical stuff. They might like you. So now you won't find that kind of companionship in show business anymore. You won't find it in America anymore where people are helping people. I mean, it's like dog eat dog now. I auditioned against 45 people, some very famous, and I got it. And in 3 months, we took it from 0.03 till it was bumping heads with the Today Show. Now, Jim Garrison arrested Clay Shaw in 1967. I got the show in 1970, but I was still a comic in 67. I believed, as Jim Garrison did. Jim Garrison was he said he was in the military. He was an authority figure. He believed his government. He never thought, he believed the Warren Commission, in other words. And I kept saying to my friends, you know, the government has been bashing Garrison for 2 years from 67 to 69. They keep saying he's a nut, he's going to fall on his face. You know, why don't they let him fall on his face? But they kept getting in his way. So I lost a couple of friends over that. Now I get the AM show, and it's all over with. The Clay Shaw trial is over with. There are a lot of things about the Clay Shaw trial that I'm going to tell you about in a second because I learned about it. I was in a bookstore, Larry Edmonds Bookstore on Hollywood Boulevard, and I see this book, Heritage of Stone. Jim Garrison, isn't that DA? And I pick it up. I stood there, Christine, for 4 hours reading the book. I couldn't move. I couldn't put it down. I learned, for example, that he had to take Time Life magazine to the Supreme Court to get the Zapruder film released for the trial. I learned that one of the doctors at Bethesda, his name was Fink, is brought in as part of the defense team, proving that the Kennedy was shot from the rear, but under cross-examination, and not by Garrison, by his staff, they found out that Fink said he was not even allowed to perform the autopsy. Nobody was allowed to perform the autopsy because General Curtis LeMay prevented it. Now, I didn't know any of this stuff then.
This is the assassination of a sitting president. And
of
no
a
one was,
sitting president.
And no one was allowed to perform an autopsy.
Nobody was allowed to perform an autopsy. And at one point, Dr. Hume, who was supposed to perform the autopsy, hollered out, "Who's in charge here?" And the place would fill with generals and admirals. Now, I'm going to get back to how smart Jim Garrison is in a minute. But another thing in the book, when he arrested Clay Shaw, Garrison ordered character assassination has nothing to do with the assassination of a president. To protect Clay Shaw and his case, he went through a grand jury. Then he went to a panel of three judges. Now, we have on camera the defense attorney for Clay Shaw. His name is Diamond, and he admits to this on camera. He wanted to prove his client's innocence. He introduced the 26 volumes. The three-judge panel threw out the Warren report, claiming it was not an investigation. It was only hearsay. It had never been an investigation. Now, had the national press reported that, that fraud, that criminal attack on Garrison would have ended, and Lyndon Johnson would have been deprived of the presidency. The whole country would have probably collapsed. And to show you how smart Garrison is, at the very beginning of this, when you played that wonderful soundbite, Garrison was the most articulate man. He had this great, incredible sense of humor and this sense of language. You notice how he described John Kennedy. The only thing standing in their way was a 5'9" Irish American with red hair. I mean, who else would talk like that? And for them, it's just wiping a fly off the table. When he arrested Clay Shaw and David Ferry later supposedly committed suicide. He was another one, was murdered. He investigated the origins of the Central Intelligence Agency. Once he found out Shaw and Ferry and Oswald were with the CIA, he researched it, and this is what he found out. Central Intelligence Agency was created in the mid-50s, signed into law by Harry Truman, who on his deathbed said it was the biggest mistake I ever made in my life. Now, what nobody knows now, because they won't tell you, Iran is the big enemy. Iran had a democratically elected president in 1954. He was a teacher named Mossadegh. He nationalized British Petroleum because he wanted a better deal for his people's oil. Eisenhower had Alan Dulles go over there and get rid of him. The same thing happened in Guatemala.
Yes.
The same thing happened in Colombia. It happened in Chile later on with Allende. These people who were for the 90%, 99% in their country were setting a bad example for the 1% who own us. Now, what happened is Garrison says on camera, there was no reason for a fake war or war with the Soviet Union because the Soviets had lost 25 million people. They are no threat to the United States. The threat is if you have 1.5 million troops coming home, you have a depression ended only because of World War II. What are you going to do when you get these men home? How many Philcos can they make? How many refrigerators? How many cars? You're still going to have a depression. But you can make a bomb a day and have it explode and make a new bomb.
Mm.
The CIA, he said, John, look at all these organizations. We have 20. We have 20 intelligence organizations in this country. Why the CIA? To create a foreign policy for permanent war. And the person who drafted the program for the Central Intelligence Agency was not an intelligence man, was not an army man. He was a Wall Street lawyer named James Forrestal. It was for Wall Street and the military-industrial complex that Eisenhower cowardly warned us about when he left office. He left a 43-year-old young man to take on that military apparatus run by the CIA, and he was no match for them.
I want to remind our listeners, I'm sorry, I want to just, because people who are just tuning in, they want to know who I'm speaking with. I'm Christine Blasdale, and in studio with me is John Barber. He is the director of the brand new documentary, The American Media and the Second Assassination of President John F. Kennedy. We are in a fun drive, folks, and so we are bringing you the latest, most powerful content that we can, thanks to John Barber. We have an incredible thank you gift to offer you this hour for we're going to play a clip. I want to play a clip so people get an idea a little bit about the documentary. This is the media and the CIA Project Mockingbird. And I believe also in this clip is Fletcher Prouty is in this clip with Jim Garrison as well. Jim is in this clip as well. So, folks, you're going to hear from you'll hear Jim Garrison in this clip. This documentary is available to you right now. If you pick up the phone, please call right now because the lines are going to get extremely busy. It is available to you right now for a $100 pledge at
516-620-3602. Once again, 516-620-3602.
The phone lines are going to be lighting up right now, so I'm going to let the volunteers run and answer the calls. The number to get hold of this documentary is
516-620-3602. Again, it's 516-620-3602.
Okay, we're going to go to a clip now, and I'm going to tell you folks, too, when we come back, why it's so important for you to get a hold of that documentary. Let's listen now to The American Media and the Second Assassination of President John F. Kennedy.
With the CIA's Mockingbird assets in place, support for the CIA's plans for Cuba and Vietnam were gaining public traction.
First, I want to say that there will not be, under any condition, be an intervention in Cuba by United States Armed Forces.
Reluctantly convinced by Alan Dulles and his associate Charles Cabell that a modest invasion by mostly anti-Castro Cubans at the Bay of Pigs would be so well received by the Cuban people it would result in a popular uprising against Fidel, Kennedy approved it. From the beginning, it was a disaster. To attempt to salvage their obvious blunder, the CIA cried for air support, but the president had already said publicly,
"First, I want to say that there will not be, under any condition, be an intervention in Cuba by United States Armed Forces."
Knowing an airstrike would give a lie to his young presidency, Kennedy turned the CIA down. It was the CIA's first failure. They were...
Many of the participants in the Bay of Pigs were on that landing force because I had known them personally.
The CIA's code name for the operation at the Bay of Pigs was called Zapata, the name of George Bush's oil company. One of the boats was called Barbara, his wife, proving that George Bush was no small potatoes at the Central Intelligence Agency. President Kennedy publicly took the blame.
Detailed discussions not to conceal responsibility because I'm the responsible officer of the government.
But he knew where the responsibility lay.
He fired Alan Dulles, longtime director of Central Intelligence, General Cabell as deputy. And it's interesting to recall that General Cabell was brother of the mayor of Dallas at the time President Kennedy was killed.
And John Kennedy's words when he fired him were... roughly along these lines, that if this were England, I would have to go. But this is America, and you have to go.
Kennedy was going to shatter the CIA in 1,000 pieces.
The gulf between Kennedy and the CIA has widened almost irreparably.
Proof of that rift popped up on the front page of the New York Times in a column written by Arthur Kropp. Quote, "If the United States ever experiences an attempt at a coup to overthrow the government, it will come from the CIA." The CIA media assets were now trumpeting the communist menace in Asia, along with the domino theory of collapsing nations. But on September 3rd, 1963, on CBS, sitting outdoors 50 days before his murder, President John Kennedy told Walter Cronkite there would be no Americans fighting in Vietnam. We would supply them, but it was their war.
In the final analysis, it's their war. They're the ones who have to win it or lose it. We can help them. We can give them equipment. We can send our men out there as advisors, but they have to win it, the people of Vietnam, against the communists.
In 1963, there were 1,200 what Eisenhower called advisors in Vietnam. John Kennedy said he was going to remove 1,000 a month over the year until there were none. With Vietnam and its profits possibly disappearing, the CIA was facing its second failure, the biggest in their unbothered history. The only one standing in their way was President John Kennedy. Their only ally in the White House, Lyndon Johnson. But rumors were strong that Lucky Lyndon would not even be on the 64 ticket. That was a certain Kennedy landslide. It wasn't that President Kennedy would remove his running mate. The law would. Bobby Baker, Johnson's longtime bagman, was being investigated for bribery in a vending machine scandal. The investigation of corruption led back to the 50s, straight to Lyndon Johnson. The first attempt on President Kennedy was thwarted in Chicago.
But then there was the phone call to federal agents from a motel manager, concerned about what she saw in a room rented by two Cuban nationals.
Had seen lying on the bed several automatic rifles with telescopic sights with an outline of the route that President Kennedy was supposed to take.
No word of the other possible assassin who resembled Lee Harvey Oswald or the two Cubans who were never detained was ever forwarded to Dallas. A second attempt soon thereafter in Miami, where the motorcade was stopped and the president flown out by helicopter. The Central Intelligence Agency, except for Castro, had a 100% success record in eliminating heads of states. It was a program called the Family Jewels to eliminate the biggest head of state, their own president, with the help of the Dallas police and their media assets, would be a no-risk operation.
Oh, John Barber, you nailed it with that. Folks, that was a clip from the American media and the second assassination of President John F. Kennedy. The phone lines, when I had just gone into the phone room, they're already busy. I want you to know, folks, this is an exclusive. This is a Pacifica Radio exclusive. John is making this available to you right now. It's not available anywhere else in the DV format, the American media and the second assassination of President John F. Kennedy. You can't get it anywhere else but right here, right now, by calling 516-620-3602. Again, 516-620-3602. You can also pledge securely at WBAI.org. Give us a call, though. We have phone answers answering the calls as fast as they can at 516-620-3602. And for a mere $100 pledge, okay? $100 pledge. Not only are you going to get this DVD, not available anywhere else. It's an exclusive to you right now, to you, the wonderful Pacifica listener. You're going to get this DVD. Now, here's the deal. I don't have much time. I'm the show is half over. I want to raise $5,000. Now, you might be doing the math. You might be saying $5,000. You're only offering something that's a $100 pledge, Christine. How are you going to do it? I don't know. That's where you come in. You know what? If you can pledge more than $100, maybe you can pledge $1,000 or $5,000. You know this content you will never hear on any other media outlet. They've all been bought and sold. Project Mockingbird, look it up. Google it if you must. Project Mockingbird still exists. It was put into place to control you, the people, and you know that because when you listen to Pacifica Radio, you go, what is that? It's called the truth.
516-620-3602. Once again, 516-620-3602.
My goal is $5,000. I have less than 30 minutes to get it. That means everybody calling up and pledging either at the $100 level or if you can pledge at the $500, $1,000, do it right now. And John, thank you on behalf of the listeners and thank you on behalf of Pacifica.
Believe me, this
exclusive DVD. Thank you.
First of all, I must thank you for the opportunity that you are giving me to expose this film because those of you who may remember me as the movie critic at Los Angeles Magazine for 10 years and for 5 years at MSNBC with Tom Snyder in the 6 o'clock news, only did it 3 times a week. I never had a contract at NBC because they wanted to control or own what I wrote. And so I was fired 2 or 3 times for telling the truth on the air. I'm going to tell you.
You're my hero then.
Well, as a matter of fact, when Tom Snyder left to go to the Tomorrow Show, the NBC management called me and said, for your last review on the air, John, would you review Tom live while he's sitting next to you? And I said I'd be happy to. And the closing line of the review was, Tom Snyder is the kind of personality that gives you the impression the news is there to bring you him. Well, there was a spontaneous eruption from the crew, and next week, Time Magazine, they quoted it, you know, because and management used to get mad at me because I would write these jokes in my reviews, and they didn't want the crew laughing on a news show. But if you trusted my reviews, I'm going to say something right now that is going to shock you. If I said to you, what is the most important American movie ever made? Nobody can name it. I've asked a dozen people who are famous movie makers. They'll say Citizen Kane. No, that's not important. It's a great film. They'll say Gone with the Wind. No, it's a great film, but it's not important.
Not important, right.
What was important was JFK.
Thank you.
Because with JFK, it forced Congress to pass the Assassinations Act, and the CIA was forced to release documents. One of these documents is at the opening of the film that was released either on purpose by somebody at the CIA who said, this is enough BS for America. Let them know the truth about what was done to the president by this agency. Or it came out on purpose. Okay, but the document dated 1967 proves that Jim Garrison was right when he announced, when he arrested Clay Shaw, the Central Intelligence Agency killed our president, and we will prove it beyond a shadow of a doubt. And the document tells the Central Intelligence Agency legal department to get Clay Shaw help. Otherwise, Jim Garrison is going to get a conviction in that courtroom for conspiracy. Now, listen to me. This is the most important American film since JFK. And I must tell you, even though I'm the filmmaker, as a critic, I would say it may be the most important American movie ever made. And if I were some of you, I wouldn't even see it if, as Jack Nicholson said in A Few Good Men, you can't handle the truth, because it's going to shake you out of your comfort zone. If you want the truth, you are going to have a theatrical experience you've never had. I screened it once at the Texas Theater, November 21st, the day before the killing, in Dallas at the Texas Theater, where they arrested Lee Harvey Oswald. 300 people, a spontaneous standing ovation for 10 minutes at the end of the film. You will never see that in any other movie. So please contribute the $100 to getting the truth out about this most amazing American, Jim Garrison, and the only peace president we've ever had.
516-620-3602. Once again, 516-620-3602.
Folks, you will not get this DVD, too. We're going to send you the DVD. We're going to send you the physical DVD. It's an exclusive. It's not available anywhere else right now. And John Barber, the filmmaker, is making it available to you. So for a $100 pledge, we'll send that to you. So when you get the DVD, watch it, share it with friends, family. So I know I'm going to need an angel out there. I'm going to need someone who can pledge at the $1,000 or $5,000 level right now. You know why you listen to Pacifica Radio. It's because we have the opportunity. You know, nobody's busting down the door, John, and telling me, you can't talk about this stuff. You can't say these things. We are not controlled by the military-industrial complex. But when you pay your cable bill, when you pay your cable bill and you watch those programs, the news that you can trust and the only last word and all blah, 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 bull, oni.
516-620-3602. Once again, 516-620-3602. 620-3602.
And your contribution keeps voices like John Barber's on the air, keeps voices like Jim Garrison. I want to play a clip here. I really want to play another clip from this documentary, and I just have so little time, but I want to play it because it talks about the whole idea about Oswald as the patsy. I want to get to this clip, but we need a couple more phone calls. Again, you will not get this DVD anywhere else. He is making it exclusively available to Pacifica Radio, the American media, and the second assassination of President John F. Kennedy for a $100 pledge.
516-620-3602. 516-620-3602.
Let's go now to a clip, a real quick clip here, John. This is, you know what, in my footnotes, you know what I put? I put, wow. So that's all I'm going to say. When Christine writes, wow, that means you better listen to this clip. Let's listen now.
As we understand it, no one actually saw this man pull the trigger of the rifle that apparently killed the president. Is that correct?
That is correct up to this time in our investigation.
Did you tell the president?
No, I have not been charged with that. In fact, nobody has said that to me yet.
Has he told anybody that he plans to kill the president?
He hasn't admitted killing the president to anyone.
I really don't know what the situation is about. Nobody has told me anything except that I'm accused of murdering a policeman.
How would you describe his mood during the questioning?
Very arrogant.
Listen to how one objective reporter poses his question.
How do you sum him up as a man, based on your experience with criminal types?
I do request for someone to come forward to give me a legal assistance.
One of the arresting officers, Detective James Lavelle, who would accompany Oswald the next day to a safer county jail, was surprised at Oswald's calmness.
His demeanor was awfully calm. I know that I could not have answered the questions in the same manner that he did had I actually been guilty of killing two people.
Two photographs of Oswald in his backyard posing with a rifle and what was identified as a communist newspaper were discovered by Dallas police and shown to Oswald. He claimed they were fake and would prove it.
Well, when they arrested him, he had over $3,000 worth of camera equipment, so he was no ordinary photographer.
Stephen Jaffe, Jim Garrison's photo analyst, proved what Lee Harvey Oswald did not live to prove.
Whoever framed Oswald evidently used only one picture of his face and planted it on someone else's body. Then to give the face on the right a different look, it seems they airbrushed some of the facial features and tilted the head slightly. And in doing so, they tilted the shadow under his nose. That it was one face is easily demonstrated. If you take the face on the right and superimpose it over the face on the left, the features line up.
That was a clip from the American media and the second assassination of President John F. Kennedy, an exclusive available right now, nowhere else but right here at
516-620-3602, 516-620-3602.
I have a lofty goal of $5,000 this hour. I need all hands on deck. We're offering this exclusive DVD for a mere $100 pledge.
Those of you who listen to Pacifica Radio already are well aware of what the government has done to John Kennedy. You've been hearing this for years. Let me tell you something. May 29th is John Kennedy's 100th birthday. This film of what this government and the CIA did to him is the only real present, only real gift of truth that he will have, because there will be a tsunami of garbage on the 29th on the mainstream media about what he did, but not what they did to him.
Mm.
Pacifica has always been a gift to you with the truth.
Give us a call right now. A mere $100 pledge will get you the DVD.
516-620-3602.
If you're calling and the line is busy, please know that we have phone answers rushing in. When I went in there, all of the phones were lit up. That's a beautiful thing. But we need to get your calls in, and please be patient.
516-620-3602.
3602. Give us a call right now. We have phone answers just rushing in to answer the phone calls. Please call 516-620-3602.
And gee, you know what? I want to go back. We're going to go to track 9. I'm throwing the curveball at my beautiful, wonderful board operator, gee. In this clip, this is just because it's so important. This is so important to remind people over and over and over again. Because we were, I think, with the trauma of JFK, we were highly suggestive group of people. This country, the rest of the world knows, but Americans were like in this, you know, trance. This clip talks about that incredible single magic bullet, which we were all told to believe, the magic bullet theory, which is so bad and so ridiculous that the fact that anyone believed it is absolutely astonishing, but it also proves to the point how powerful their manipulation using the media, using the public airwaves, which is what this radio station is all about. And I want you to listen to this clip. It's very, very important. The number to call, though, to get a hold of the DVD, it's
516-620-3602. Call 516-620-3602.
Let's listen now to another clip from this incredible documentary, The American Media and the Second Assassination of President John F. Kennedy.
Governor Connally's persistent claim of not being hit by a first shot should have shot down the entire Warren Commission. This magic bullet, Exhibit 399, had fewer grains missing than were found in the governor's body. But Senator Arlen Specter had a magic solution for the magic bullet called the magic bullet theory, which the commission accepted. It states, the bullet went through President Kennedy's neck without hitting bone, magically deflected into Connally's back, smashing 4 inches of his right rib, came out under his right nipple, deflected down, demolishing a large bone in his right wrist, deflected left, embedding in his left thigh. It stayed embedded until it got to Parkland Hospital, where it fell onto a stretcher, not Connally's or President Kennedy's.
On the evidence is that it is difficult to believe the single bullet theory, but to believe the other theories is even more difficult.
The number of times the media or liberal foreign policy experts like Noam Chomsky questioned his Saturday Night Live cartoon of the magic bullet theory? Zero.
But it's a little bit like the huge energy that's put out on trying to figure out who killed John F. Kennedy. I mean, who knows? And who cares? I mean, plenty of people get killed all the time. Why does it matter that one of them happened to be John F. Kennedy? And who cares?
The word theory was fine as long as it supported the government's position. But soon, as you'll see, it would be used by the CIA and their media assets to denigrate serious researchers and investigators. The committee still had the perfect witness. Jack Ruby. Fearing Oswald's fate, he begged Earl Warren and Gerald Ford to take him to Washington so he could tell his story. Again, they declined. After 9 months of playing hide the truth, on September 24, 1964, the Warren Commission turned their findings over to President Johnson. 3 days later, they published 26 volumes.
No investigation could have been more painstaking than that carried out by this commission.
Pictures aren't there to be seen in their entirety. Individuals are not there to be questioned at any length because they have been removed. In other words, you're left with a ragtag handful of garbage.
What possible evidence could these honorable men stuff into these 26 volumes to compel Jim Garrison to call it irrelevant garbage?
To show you how cosmically irrelevant the Warren Report is, for the most part, to hide those little rare pieces of relevance. One of the exhibits is classified in the front as a study of the teeth of Jack Ruby's mother. Even if Jack Ruby had intended to bite Oswald to death, that still would not have been relevant. One of the items of testimony, which you would think is less significant, goes on for more than 20 pages. And that's the testimony of the babysitter of Lee Oswald when he was 3 years old.
This is how NBC's Frank McGee described the Warren Report.
In 300,000 words of lean and orderly language, the Warren Commission makes these major findings. Lee Harvey Oswald assassinated President Kennedy.
In NBC's report, they conveniently blacked out President Kennedy's press aide, Malcolm Kilduff, pointing to the fatal headshot to the temple, as did Peter Jennings in his ABC special.
Did Lee Harvey Oswald shoot President Kennedy? CBS News concludes that he did.
Oh, God. CBS News concludes that we have sold out and we're going to lie to you and lie to you and lie to you. That was a clip from the American media and the second assassination of President John F. Kennedy. Folks, you're going to find out so much information that you were not told, that has been kept from you, that has been suppressed. But the most important thing, the thing that makes me really... when you see folks like Walter Cronkite and Dan Rather and these major newscasters who have been so respected throughout the years, throughout all the decades, right? Throughout all of the trials and tribulations and all the things, we tune into the, oh, let's listen to the news. We could trust this news. CBS says that this was what happened, so we better believe it. You will realize how you have been lied and manipulated our entire lives, but I mean, just that whole idea about the magic bullet theory, what a load of junk.
Well, one of the most astonishing things to me in researching all this time, I have all his books, Noam Chomsky. I mean, he's been called America's leading intellectual. And that soundbite of him saying, who cares if John Kennedy was killed? A lot were killed. What's the difference? I almost started to cry. I couldn't believe it because people I admire, like Chris Hedges, think this man is a god. So I said to Chris, I'm sending you a clip of Noam Chomsky, and you write me back and tell me if you think that man is one of our leading intellectuals. It is astonishing, no matter what you think you know about this case, and a lot of you do, you are going to be astounded by what you learn in this film. And there are a lot of huge laughs. For example, the magic bullet thing. We do people on the street that make the most wonderful comments about this movie. And here was a guy who was shown the magic bullet theory. He couldn't stop laughing. We inserted it.
516-620-3602. Give us a call right now. We have phone answers just rushing in to answer the phone calls. Please call 516-620-3602.
Folks, you only have a couple minutes left to take advantage of this incredibly generous offer, too, from John Barber, the filmmaker. This DVD is not available anywhere else right now except for right here. This is an exclusive for you. The number to call to get it is
516-620-3602. Again, it's 516-620-3602.
But if you call up right now and pledge just $100 or more, and I said more because I need probably another $2,000 or $3,000. I know I do. I need at least $3,000. And how am I going to do that in less than 10 minutes? Actually, less than, like, I got like 8 minutes to raise about $3,000. Whew. Okay, you're out there. I know you're out there. I know you're out there. Call up right now. Cut us a check. It's a tax-deductible contribution. We're a nonprofit radio station. And just put your money where your ears are.
516-620-3602.
You can get the DVD by itself if you like, but call right now. Yes, John.
Folks, I just want to tell you something. Before I started this film, I had, of course, to dip into my retirement fund to pay for this. When I started the film, I started a GoFundMe account, and 52 people whose names are at the end of the film to thank, they sent in money to help me make the film, and they had no idea what they were going to get. You have an idea from what Christine has just played you that you're going to have the greatest theatrical learning experience you will ever have in your life. You will be given a DVD that is going to be historically important. and you're contributing to it. And once you get that DVD, you are going to send it down to your heirs. Mm-hmm. They will have it 100 years from now. That truth will ring loud and clear because you are making a contribution to this wonderful Pacifica radio station.
516-620-3602. Once again, 516-620-3602.
I tell you what, I want you to give us a call right now. Again, this is an exclusive. You can't get it anywhere else. Don't even think of looking. I mean, go ahead if you want to take the time and look, but get back on the phone. Call us, please, right now, because I need to go check on something real quick. Gee, can you cue up track 8 for me? Clip 8. This is the reason why you need to support Pacifica Radio, because the media collusion with the intelligence agencies has been around for a very long time. And if you do not believe me, I'm going to play a short clip right now from John's film. John knows, because John's been a part of the media. He knows exactly what's going on, and he put it in this film. And you're going to hear
Christine.
You're going to hear Dan Rather, and you're going to hear Walter Cronkite, and you're going to hear how they would lie to you because they're supposed to.
Well, these honorable men were manufacturing their proof that Oswald did it. They were getting an assist from CBS.
The head of CBS, Bill Paley, had been involved with the CIA from the time that it was the OSS. He'd always been a loyalist to him. And CBS invested their own credibility in this at the very, very beginning. At the moment of the release of the report, they were in the middle of a two-hour special backing the report before it had ever been released.
A recently released CBS memo reveals the person helping craft their specials was none other than John J. McCloy, one of the honorable gentlemen on the commission, a commission which has not yet announced its conclusions. It had reached its conclusions, it just hadn't announced them yet. Jim Garrison said that even honorable men know that the most important thing in a murder investigation is the autopsy.
Some of America's finest forensic pathologists, medical people who perform autopsies in the Washington, D.C. area, stood by their telephones that evening when the president's body was returned to Washington, D.C., but they were never called.
They missed the wound in the front of the president's neck.
The reality had to be turned upside down and illusion created so that it looked as if he was shot from the back. So one of the ways they had to create that illusion was to get control of the pathologists and the people handling the autopsy. One of the ways that was done was by having the autopsy in its entirety supervised by generals and admirals.
The individuals in charge of the autopsy selected two administrators, individuals who had rarely performed autopsies.
The president got an autopsy that wouldn't have been acceptable for a Bowery bum. But Oswald got an autopsy fitting of a president. There aren't any real questions about Oswald's autopsy. And there were nothing but questions about the president's autopsy.
Had this case ever gone to court, these pathologists would have been destroyed on cross-examination by a competent defense attorney.
The bullet that struck President Kennedy from the back hit him in the back, just below the right shoulder blade, as verified by the holes in his jacket and shirt. The commission had the power to look at these x-rays and photographs. Instead, they chose to look at cartoon drawings showing them the trajectory of the bullet.
Oh, you gotta be kidding me!
The Warren Commission, with the help of CBS, had to prove that Oswald was a remarkable marksman, capable of firing 3 accurate shots in less than 5.6 seconds, as indicated by the Zapruder film.
Marine Corps records show Oswald had attained the rank of sharpshooter.
Oswald's Marine roommate, Nelson Delgado, in spite of FBI harassment, stuck to his guns about Oswald's lack of skill. With more and more books and critics popping up, the groundswell about our government was becoming a big mountain of doubt, which the CIA had to quickly try to reduce to a molehill. Thus, CIA Memorandum 1035-960. This memorandum states, "The aim is to provide material discrediting the conspiracy theorists, use of friendly politicians and editors pointing out communist propaganda, explain 10 or more deaths in a more natural way. This memo also singles out Joaquin Jostin, Penn Jones, and of course, Mark Lane.
And the CIA started a propaganda campaign, a global propaganda campaign, to label these people conspiracy theorists and to ridicule them and say that they were just doing it to make money, or they were in love with their own theories, or they were under the control of communist propagandists.
Firing line.
One of the first to follow this CIA memo is, of course, their own William F. Buckley.
I think of you as somebody who is trying to rescue Oswald as the putative killer.
But since I don't
even say
because
Oswald was a communist. This is the effect of your book, isn't it?
No. I think my book shows quite conclusively the shots came from at least two directions, and at the law, conspiracy is nothing more, of course, than two or more persons acting in concert to effect an illegal end. So the book says there was a conspiracy to kill the president. I think that competent pathologists should have examined these invaluable documents and rendered an opinion to the commission. And today, independent experts, not associated with the government, should be given the right to do that. Don't you believe that's so?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do. Yes, I do.
Marx consistently talking only about evidence forced the FBI to contact producers of television and radio shows, warning them not to book him. He still spoke to hundreds of sold-out crowds. His growing popularity, along with that of his fellow critic Dick Gregory, was making the establishment very, very nervous.
Mark Lane, for example, the most vocal of all the critics, has a theory of his own.
Fighting back again with only his pen, Mark cataloged the media's collusion and continuing cover-up in another bestseller, Citizen's Dissent.
I certainly wouldn't say with confidence that we would make arrests and have convictions afterwards if I did not know that we had solved the assassination of President Kennedy beyond any shadow of a doubt.
The media and government's attacks on Mark Lane would escalate when he joined District Attorney Jim Garrison's investigation after the arrest of Clay Shaw.
Because of my military service and both World War II and the National Guard, I had acquired, you might say, could you call it an authority syndrome? I just simply didn't question a government conclusion on a matter like that. I could not believe at the time of the Warren Commission announcement and investigation that the federal government, first of all, could have anything to do with the assassination, and in any case, that it would cover it up.
What was never reported by the media was that this former FBI officer, Air Force veteran, and politically independent district attorney initially believed the Warren report until an accidental meeting with Senator Hale Boggs in Washington.
That there might be a cover-up by the government, and his words were along the line of, that's a mild way to put it.
That was a clip from the American media and the second assassination of President John F. Kennedy. I had to jump in there because, John, we only have like 3 minutes left. And the phone lines, I want you to know, too, folks, the phone lines are backed up. They're every single phone line. I went in there. There's people calling in droves. That's beautiful. But I want you to keep those calls coming in. Even after the hour, I want you to keep calling. If you can't get through right now, please keep dialing
516-620-3602. Once again, 516-620-3602.
Yes, we're going to send you the DVD. This is an exclusive, not available anywhere else. You're not going to find it on Amazon. You're not going to find it at, your big box store. Okay, it's available right now, thanks to John Barber, who's been generous enough to let us to allow us to use this for our fund drive. For a $100 pledge, we'll send that to you with our love and appreciation. If you want to see this film, you want to be involved in this movement of truth, call right now and make your pledge.
516-620-3602.
John, in 30 seconds... What's your final words to, I know,
well,
in 30 seconds, what's your final words to our listeners?
Make a contribution to this magnificent Pacifica radio where it's radio for the 99%.
Thank you, John. Thank you so much for the work that you really, like I said, I've been doing this a long, long time, and And it's rare that I find something that is this powerful and so very Pacifica, because it's about revealing the truth, no matter what. Speaking truth to power is what it is. So thank you from the bottom of my heart. Thank you so much.
Thank you for the magnificent job of producing this hour. That was totally outstanding and totally unexpected. And folks, I'm telling you, you're in for a monumental treat when you see this.
516-620-3602. Once again, 516-620-3602.
And I'm going to do my last shout out in these last 30 seconds that I have. I need an angel. I need someone who's going to pledge $3,000, $4,000 right now. Come on, pick up the phone. We're out of time, so we're going to head out. I want to thank G and Master Control. I want to thank you, John Barber, so much for all of your incredible work and for coming into the station and being generous enough to allow us to use this film for our fund drive. All right, stay tuned for more fund drive programming coming your way. Don't go anywhere.
Hi, this is Bernie Sanders. Well, at least I sound like Bernie Sanders, occasionally, in my opinion. I understand in the Republic of Brooklyn, where I grew up, there's going to be a huge party at a place called the Commons Cafe. It's called the Dump on Trump Stump Party. It's going to be a bunch of comedians and a bunch of musicians, and it's free for all WBAI listeners. How could you go wrong? That's Randy Credico's Dump on Trump Stump Party at the Commons Cafe, 388 Atlantic Avenue in the Republic of Brooklyn, May 28th. I believe it's a Sunday night. Why would you not want to go to this if you're not going to the Catskills? So I'll see you here, May 28th, 7 p.m., 388 Atlantic Avenue in Brooklyn. Have a good time.
What lessons have we learned from the last year in politics? Why isn't the Democratic Party representing the interests of the working class? Where is the labor movement organizing today? These are some of the questions that will be raised when the Left Forum brings together cutting-edge politics, groundbreaking philosophy, and the many faces of activism at the organization's 2017 conference, The Resistance, taking place at 6 p.m. on June 2nd, 3rd, and 4th at the John Jay College for Criminal Justice at 524 West 59th Street in Manhattan. Speakers include Glenn Greenwald, Linda Sarsour, Jeremy Scahill, Madonna Thunderhawk, and Glenn Ford. Several hundred workshops are scheduled, and several thousand grassroots organizers are expected. Again, that's Left Forum Conference 2017, The Resistance, June 2nd to June 4th at 6 p.m. at the John Jay College for Criminal Justice at 524 West 59th Street in Manhattan. Come join The Resistance.
Yo, check this out. This is Chuck, the Public Enemy number one, the rebel without a pause, bringing the noise and fighting the power right here to the Sights and Sounds. That's right, Sights, 99.5 WBAI.
From New York City, it's the Gary Null Show. And now, your host, Gary Null.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Null. We have a lot to share today.
I'm going to focus my attention this hour on something that impacts virtually everyone. First, I want to tell you a little story. Everything I'm telling you is actually understated, because what I cannot share with you is looking in people's eyes and seeing helplessness, depression, resignation, fatigue, burnout. And right now it's particularly personal because three of my closest friends all have parents who are being at a place where they can no longer take care of themselves. And unfortunately, when they had a chance to intervene, they didn't. And in part, it's understandable. And I can't blame and I won't blame them, because it's one thing to know what someone should be eating and drinking and things they should do just to take care of themselves. It's something else then to explain it's time to do it, and they say, I don't want to do it. And because they don't want to do it, they're not going to do it. And as a result, we end up in a mess. So they don't do it, and time goes on, and then it gets worse. Memory loss. First, they'll forget little things like what they ate this morning, the title of a book. They'll forget a conversation. They can even begin to forget names of people that are relatively close to them. And yet they have very keen old memories from 30 years ago, 40 years ago, but not recent. And this is all due to the fact that once the brain starts aging, it accelerates. I'll give you an example. A very, very well-known person, worldwide famous person, who's been my friend for over 45 years, one of my very first friends in New York, and very close, spending a lot of time together, having dinner once a week together. In fact, when I had my restaurant back in the 1990s, I kept a table for him every single night, even when he wasn't in town. There'd be a sign on it, table reserved. And sometimes people say, well, you know, no one's here, why can't it? Well, because that's my friend's table. And part of my friendship is to honor that friendship. And knowing that he wouldn't be there, it was more important that he know that that was his table. It's like when someone visits me in my home, and one of my buddies, he likes one particular room because it has a particular view. So he's in that room, and so I don't let anyone else in that room, even if he doesn't come for once a year, you know, to visit. Those are the things you do when you care about people. You know, we always make exceptions for the people that we love and treasure, or we should if we don't. But what do you do when there's someone in your life, you care about them, but they're not going to listen to you? And that was my friend. Every day he'd drop by my office exactly at 10 o'clock, and he'd walk up, he'd sit in the chair, and he'd say, Gary, he said, we have for dinner tonight? I said, sure. He said, you know, I'm having a little trouble with my memory. Can I get a protocol? I said, no problem. So I would give him a protocol. I actually had it printed out. It would be in my drawer. I'd give it to him. Hey, great, I'm going to start taking this. Are you going to start today? Absolutely today. The trouble is, Reggie, he would come in every single day and do the same thing. By the time he got downstairs on the street, he had forgotten he'd been in my office. He would forget that we had dinner. In fact, I'll tell you how bad it got. And I went to his son, I went to his daughter, I went to his manager, and I said, hey, if you don't get a handle on this, I can help him. But he's got to come. I'm going to go spend, you know, the next 3 months in my home, and I'm going to be working from there, writing a new book. So if he's there, I can see that he gets what he needs to reverse his brain aging. But if you don't do this, I can promise you he's going to be on a path that he won't recognize you. And that's exactly what happened. Never took that time, never had a chance to help him, never followed the protocols. Heck of a nice guy. And now, not long ago, before I went on the road, we had dinner together. And about an hour later, walking down the street, he said, where do you want to go for dinner? Mind you, we just came from dinner.
Wow.
He had forgotten we just had dinner. That's how bad dementia is. And dementia can lead to Alzheimer's. And we're not talking about a few people or a few thousand or even a few million. I'm guesstimating right now that there's at least 50 million Americans who are over the age of 60 who are having memory loss that will lead ultimately to either dementia or Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, and a whole lot of misery in between. Now, I want to add two more stories onto this. This morning, a very close friend of mine called because they were at their wit's end. I mean, they were burned out and stressed to the max, chronically sick, because when your immune system is burned out, you get sick. And because they didn't want to put their mom in a home, and yet the mom would have be normal during the daytime, but would have sundown syndrome. Have you ever heard of sundown syndrome?
No, I haven't.
Okay, Tony, sundown syndrome is where you're dealing with a person who seems fine for the day, but then suddenly at 10 o'clock at night, 2 o'clock in the morning, they get up and they go out and they walk around the neighborhood and forget where they're at. They drive a car and don't know where they're at. And I got a call that, you know, my mom's not here all night. Where is she? I said, well, she will be probably at a police station. Someone will have seen this woman. She'll be lacking cognition and confused and disoriented. That's exactly what happened. But in the daytime, when you say, mom, it's time you go into a center, oh, they raise Cain and say, no, I'm not going to. And I said, it's no longer about them, because what happens if they're not found, and if they wreck a car, or if they hurt themselves, they walk out into traffic? I said, there's a point to where one of the most painful choices in life, and there's no easy answer for this, is where you've got to put your mom in place. Well, fortunately, the whole family got involved. Mind you, Tony, for 20 years, I've been suggesting that they put their mom on a detox, they cleanse, help rejuvenate, and no one wanted to do it. So it never happened. And what problem you don't deal with isn't going away. It's just going to compound. Well, now it's at that point where everybody is panicking. So they found a place where they can have assisted living, meaning their nurse is there, but it's still a community that's got, you know, nice environment. It's costing her $1,250 a month. That's not a lot. And she has her own place, but in a larger community where there are active people. So when she's in her cognitive moment, she can engage in a lot of other activities, but at least she's being cared for. And she's living off her Social Security and a small pension. Here's the point. When I've got three of my best friends in the world whose parents are all suffering from Alzheimer's dementia, and it happened fast, because from the time it starts, Tony, it accelerates. And in fact, 5 years ago, a very close friend of mine brought their mom and dad to see me, and not about their brains, but about a problem the mother was having with some pain. And in the process of this two-hour conversation I had, I suggested a whole cleansing and detox program, and they, well, what do you mean detox? Well, it means that there are certain things you can't have. What? Well, you can't have alcohol. Well, that doesn't work. Why? Well, every afternoon after, you know, 3 o'clock, we have cocktails. We've done that for 50 years. But every one of those cocktails have killed a million brain cells, heart cells, liver cells, kidney cells, every single day. And you don't have any capacity now to rejuvenate those. So we've got to go in there and stop that damage, turn off the inflammation, and repair as many tissue and neurons as possible. Well, we're not going to do that. What else? Well, we got to give up the meat and get to a plant-based diet. Not going to do one of those stupid vegetarian diets. I'm not going to do it. Okay. At the end of 2 hours, Tony, there was nothing they were willing to do. And so I wished them well, and they left. Now, mind you, they had full cognition. They weren't overweight and weren't diabetic. And I said to my friend quietly, I said, in 5 years from now, your mom and dad will both be in homes. Well, it's 5 years they're both in a home. The mother does not recognize the daughter, and the father spent every penny he had filling out coupons for those stupid things you get in the mail about win a free this with money he didn't have, and now he's completely lost his mind, and they're both in a home. So for people who think that somehow because of your body politic, remember one of the grand dames of American literature and one of the great feminists from the 1920s, 30s, 40s, and 50s was Sarah Donas. She was my agent, and I worked for her when I first came to New York. I even worked for free because I wanted to learn about my own writing and to improve it. Well, she had some of the most stimulating, interesting conversations with some of the great radical intellectuals in her apartment in Bancroft. But she would sit there all day long, and she would drink soft drinks and eat cupcakes. She was overweight, and she would fall asleep. Half the day she'd be asleep. And yet she wouldn't change. So when her brain went, it went fast. 1 year from cognition to gone.
Gary, can I just ask quickly why the sleep? Why so much sleep? What role does that play in this equation?
The moment you're eating sugar, your blood sugar goes up, and your whole body's rhythms come down. You crash. Fatigue is the first thing you feel after lots of sugar. And so when people are tired all the time, more often than not, it's sugar imbalances and pre-diabetes or diabetes. You don't have active diabetics. And that's why they tend to gain weight. That's why they have neuropathy. That's why they have vascular disease. That's why they have macular degeneration, cataracts, and far higher incidence of heart attacks, strokes, and prematurely aging brains. So what is the solution? Because I'm dealing with this and my friends right now. In fact, I'm on the road. When I'm on the road, I don't take calls. I might work 18 hours in a day, traveling, filming, and I'm finishing up a big film that will premiere as a fundraiser for BAI this summer. And I'm not talking about plant codes. I'm talking about a new one I'm doing, a really hard-hitting, socially relevant, social issues film. And so